You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
And once again, MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Brian McTaggart. Always one of my favorite times of the week, B-Tag. Hey, look, I follow you on Twitter. As you know, I try to keep up as much as possible online. There's a little something going on the other day about Marlon Gonzalez. And I want to say that, the Hinch said something like, well, you know, we're going to get him in. He's going to play. And so the guy gets up and comes up with a walk-off on Tuesday. I guess in some ways to me, Brian, you know, when you have seasons like the seasons the Astros having right now, like those are the types of things that just sort of have to happen. And they sort of do happen.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, their offense really struggles, as we've talked about all year, if they don't hit home runs. And, the second game against the Rays was one of those days where it was really hard for them to get anything across. And then, you know, Marlon steps up and he does a few things during the game, has a sack and a double, and then he steps up and hits a walk-off home run to win that game. And he's taking advantage of the struggles of others. They're searching for answers at first base right now with Chris Carter and Luis Valbuena both struggling, and Marlon can play a little of everywhere. And in that particular game, he was playing in left field for the first time this year. But I expect him to see some more playing time, maybe more playing time at first as we go forward, just because they need that bat in the lineup. He's proven to be one of the most consistent hitters this year. So, look for Marlon to get more playing time. And we're at the point of the season where they just need guys to produce. Don't care about egos or waiting for someone to come around. They need guys that can produce right away, and Marlon is doing that.
Yeah, all bets are off at this point, right? We're not protecting anybody's feelings when it comes to bullpen or any of those things like that. What other news lately of McCullers? Any update on him when we might see him back with the big club?
Well, we last saw McCullers about 2.5 weeks ago when he got rocked in the one start at Arlington and got sent down. Now, he got sent down because, as we talked about, they're just trying to limit his innings. He's pitched very well for the Astros this year in his 13 or 14 starts. But he went down to AA for a couple of weeks, threw some bullpens on the side, worked with Doug Buffel just so the Astros could just kind of save the wear and tear on it. But he got on the mound on Tuesday night through 3 innings. That was the design, just throw 2 or 3 innings. And you know, I think we'll see him plugged in the rotation pretty soon, maybe as early as this weekend against the Dodgers for a big series. But then I think we'll see him in the rotation the rest of the year. That will give them 6 guys in the rotation. I don't know if they're going to go with a 6-man rotation or what's going to happen, but that gives them a pretty solid 1-6. And maybe they can finagle it where they allow guys like Keuchel to get a little extra rest in between starts and be fresher as the playoffs approach, or even maybe it allows them to set up the rotation a little bit towards the last week of the season or into the playoffs, if they feel like it. But bottom line is McCullers looks like he's going to be returning, and I think when he returns this time, he's going to return to stay in the rotation, and we'll see what he has down the stretch because he's going to be pitching some pretty big games for them.
Yeah, and he seems like the guy to me. You know him better than I do, but he seems like a guy, though very young, who doesn't might not be, distracted or overwhelmed by the situation. He just has a confidence that maybe it comes with a little ignorance, right? Just having not been around it enough. He doesn't seem to really care. I mean, he just goes out and I don't get the sense that he fears anybody or anything.
Yeah, I think you're right. He's young, he's fearless, he's a competitor. He grew up and of course, son of a major league player. So being in a major league stadium and clubhouse, all this stuff, not a big deal to him. He's done it. But I think more than anything, he's just fearless. And Vincent Velasquez, another guy who they sent minor leagues to limit his innings, same thing, fearless. These guys don't care that they're 21, 22. They don't care that they were in AA to start the year. They want the ball, and they want to pitch, and they think they're the best. And so far, it's working out well for them. And McCullers, other than that one start in Arlington, the last time we saw him in an Astros uniform, making a real strong push to get Rookie of the Year consideration. Now, it's hard to do that with his teammate playing shortstop. Pretty much going to lock that award up. But just a fantastic Rookie Year from McCullers. He's got a chance to really add to his resume, though, over here in the last 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah. Speaking of that guy playing shortstop, I don't know what's left to say, really, Brian. He has been such a remarkable story. I just said such a fun guy to watch play. I think people who come in maybe rooting for the other team still delight in watching Carlos Correa play that position. He is ridiculously good. He's very good with the bat. But what's this nonsense about going to Texans training camp? I mean, come on, man. You're in a pennant race. Well, style it in a little bit.
Well, you know, he's enjoying it. He's 20 years old. He's enjoying it. And when we saw him make the tackle of Altuve on Sunday when they won the walk-off, and Altuve was running around the outfield, and lo and behold, hit him with Correa and pacing down, which caused A.J. Hinch to call Correa in his office and say, hey, we love it. We love what you're doing, but let's stick with high fives, okay? The last thing he wants to see is Correa and Altuve rolling around the outfield in Minute Maid, but Correa got to see some real tackling up close on Tuesday. He got to go out to Texans practice. He struck up a friendship with J.J. Watt, who was at the Astros a couple of weeks ago taking batting practice. And so they've become bros a little bit. And so, yeah, Carlos went out there and got to see some real tackling, and he had a funny line. Carlos is a big guy. He's 6'3", 6'4", very imposing. And he said when he was out there at Texans practice watching all those bigger guys run around, he said he felt like Altuve. He says, I know what Altuve feels like now. So he's not tackling anymore.
He needs to leave Altuve alone, man. If he's not tackling him, he's making fun of him. I mean, come on, Carlos.
They're kind of like brothers right now. I mean, their lockers are right next to each other. They're both fun-loving guys, and it's really fun to watch their relationship. And should see Altuve and Correa in the middle of this infield for a long time, and so far they have a great chemistry.
Yeah, well, they certainly play great baseball. Speaking of Altuve, though, any concern offensively with Altuve? I mean, I know this seems like the first time we've ever really seen any sustained struggle on his part since he came up to the big leagues. He had a stretch this year. It was a little tough. I know now it's been a long time since that extra base hit. Everything cool with Altuve? He's hitting better than 300, but do you need a little power there?
Well, yeah, yes and no. When he was struggling back in the earlier part of the summer, he was hitting the ball in the air a lot, and the hits weren't coming. But I didn't look up his August numbers, but I think he's had a pretty good August. Yes, he's not hitting the extra base hits. Had a streak of 27 consecutive singles, but you take a single from Jose Altuve, you'll take two or three of them a game if you can. I think where he gets in trouble is where he tries to drive the ball too much and is hitting the ball in the air and constantly making outs. But we haven't seen him walk a lot, no, but the hits are starting to come a little bit more in August than they did in the earlier parts of the summer. So I think he set the bar really, really high for himself last year. 225 hits, 341. I mean, those probably going to be his career best numbers, and he's not having that kind of year, and he doesn't have to, but he's still having a pretty darn good year. And at the end of the year, at the end of the day, he's still got a chance to finish among the league leaders in hits, and he could be top 10 batting average. I think you take that right now for your leadoff hitter. But it's the fact he hasn't had extra base hits and not driving the ball. I don't think they need that out of him. They need him to get on base, maybe draw a few more walks.
Well, it's funny, though, because his name comes up a lot, and people wonder, but you're talking about a guy getting on at about a 350 clip, say, hitting better than 300. It seems like that should be enough. let's just go ahead and take it and move on from there. What about the schedule? Have you looked at the remaining weeks to see how it plays out for this team, if it's favorable or if there's some potential bumps down the road for them?
Well, they do have more home games left than road games. We all know they've struggled on the road, but, the AL West has gotten really tight right now. Not only are the Angels on the Astros fields just a couple of games up, the Rangers are right there. They got within three games here at the beginning of the week, and if you look, they have the Angels and Rangers on the road, and they have the Angels and Rangers coming to Houston. So a couple of big series with both those teams. They have the Dodgers coming up at the weekend, and they're going to get Greinke and Kershaw. Of course, that's the interleague game, but at this point, every game is big. I mean, you lose a game to the Dodgers and the Angels, or Rangers can jump up and gain a game on you. But they still have a lot of head-to-head meetings within their division. Even Seattle, they play a few times. So some big games loom ahead. And beginning in a couple of weeks when they travel, big West Coast trip when they go to Oakland, and then they go to Anaheim and have four in Texas. And we should come off that West Coast trip and really have a better idea of what's going on. But I think this thing's going to go down to the wire. The Astros close the season at Seattle, day off, and at Arizona. So A.J. Hinch may be with a chance to clinch a playoff spot against his former team that he managed. I'm sure he wouldn't mind that one bit. But every game is going to be magnified from this point on out, just like it was in 05 and 06 at the end of the year when you're looking at the scoreboard and what the opposition is doing. I think we're almost to that point right now, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. I mean, it is quite a ride. Well, enjoy it, and we'll look forward to getting the updates again next week, BTEC.
I will be around. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Brian McTaggart, MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.